Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAMS, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon. Thanks, everybody, again, as always, for joining us. We are going to talk about a topic that we have, I don't believe we've ever had a speaker come on and talk about, and yet, in my view, it is one of the major crises our country is facing right now, which is what is going to happen to our young people. So, let's again, as always, open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll bring our guest speaker on. Heavenly Father, as always, we are so grateful to enjoy the freedom that we as Americans can so easily take for granted, but that is really a strange thing to almost the entire world. Whole populations of nations that know nothing about freedom of speech or freedom of assembly or the right to keep and bear arms, or the right to due process, or equality before the law. They don't know anything about that. And we Americans enjoy that and often forget just how rare that is. So we are so grateful to be Americans, so grateful that you gave us this constitutional republic. But Lord, we are under siege. And Lord, I don't think that there's any easy way to say that, and that's not another understatement. We are under siege. And part of that siege is a siege against our young people. They're being hounded by social media, between TikTok and so many other influences, the entertainment culture, the colleges and the universities, all seeking to inculcate them with a godless worldview and an idolatrous worldview and an anti-American worldview as well, in which they, rather than being grateful for this nation and the opportunities it affords them, they're instead resentful and bitter and hateful toward the country and are quick to label us as a racist nation, a white supremacist nation, an unjust nation, and all of that. And Lord, we know, we as your people know, this nation is a gift from you. It's a providential nation. We also know all too well, we know we haven't been perfect and we never will be. But we also know that we stand head and shoulders above the rest of the nations in the world in terms of offering hope and opportunity and the ability for people to rise beyond the circumstances of their birth and to make something beautiful of their lives. And so Lord, we pray that we can preserve this constitutional republic based on Judeo-Christian principles and values, that we can preserve the family, that we can preserve individual liberty, that we can preserve constitutional governance, which involves limiting the power of government so that the individual is served rather than oppressed by our government. So Lord, thank you for these leaders and all that they do on the front lines of these issues in their own respective fields of venue. And thank you for our guest speaker today, Christian Collins, who has really taken the bull by the horns in terms of reaching these young people. Lord, there's a whole plague of suicide that's going on among our young people, a plague of gender confusion that's going on among them. They've got some serious problems. We love them. We want to help them. And we thank you for raising up leaders like Christian Collins, who is in the forefront of trying to reach these young people and give them a solid, a healthy worldview that's based up and rooted upon in truth, rather than allowing them to be swept up in the cult-like deception that is so prevalent in our culture today. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. Give him the words to say, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folks, we are so glad to have Christian Collins. I met Christian. Christian, I think you and I met I'm not sure where we met at this point, but I know we met. I think it was CNP or some other meeting. But I was so impressed by what you're doing with young people and thought, boy, this would be a great person to have come on and talk to our people. And I've got a couple of other things I want to invite you to do as well, but this is where we'll start. So, folks, please welcome Christian Collins. You've read his bio. I won't go into that. I'll be taking up his time. So let's just have him take the floor. Christian, the floor is yours.
Well, Bishop, thank you so much for having me on. I actually got to meet you through Senator Ted Cruz. You were on a plane with him at one point, and so met you back in 2014 and 15. And then recently we reconnected at the Christian event in D.C. with Speaker Mike Johnson. So I just am grateful for you and your stand, a long stand, for what is right in this country, and you are at the forefront, just speaking truth into the culture. So just so grateful for you and your ministry. Yes, sir. You know, I don't know if I emphasize this in my background, but I grew up a pastor's kid. So my dad is my best friend, and I've been the best man in a couple of weddings and, you know, and groomsmen in many, but my dad is my best friend, and we are very close. And there was a time where I thought maybe I would go into ministry. And before that time, I, as a pastor's kid, I had a time where I wavered on what I believed. You see, I went off to college and thought, after hearing some of the professors speak, and they showed us Michael Moore videos, that I might be a Democrat who would vote for Barack Obama. I liked the idea of it being the first black president. I liked the idea of someone who came from nothing, you know, rising to power. I didn't really understand Marxism, especially cultural Marxism at the time. I just understood, you know, what pop culture was teaching us. And so, you know, there I was. Also, I was agnostic. And so, thankfully, I didn't vote for Obama. It was Rush Limbaugh who put me on the right path, and I voted Republican. But unfortunately, even though I was Republican, I was still agnostic. And it was about a year later where I read Lee Strobel's book, A Case for Christ, and I had an experience at my church at the altar, and I surrendered my life to Christ. It was the apologetics that helped my brain recognize that what could be true, but it was the hard experience with God that changed me forever. And I surrendered my life to Christ, and it was a beautiful thing. It was a 180 that I did in my life. Consequentially, though, I was so heavenly minded, I was no earthly good. I thought I would no longer want to be involved in politics whatsoever. Even though I'd majored in government, I thought I was on a fast track to go into seminary now. And I talked to my dad, who was a pastor, and he encouraged me to continue down the path that I'd been on. And so I got a master's degree, not in seminary, but in communication. It enabled me to teach at a college. And I started working in politics in Texas for Governor Abbott, and then later for Senator Cruz, and later for members of Congress. And that experience was really good. But it was getting to travel with Reverend Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father. And at the time he was 76 and I was around 26, and I would be like his armor bearer in ministry, but they call it a body man in politics. So I'd help him go to all the events, and I'd schedule, his speaking engagements in political settings and in religious church settings. And we'd go state to state, and he had just so much energy. And it was after spending hundreds of hours with Raphael that I really started to begin to see politics as a ministry. It can be a ministry if you do it unto God, and we really should be salt and light in whatever field we are in, whether it be politics, of course, ministry, but really, you know, I'm not talking just about vocational ministry. I'm saying that everything that we do, if done unto the glory of God, is ministry, being in law enforcement, being a first responder, being a teacher, whatever it is you do, do it unto the glory of God. And so, it was 2019 that I started Texas Youth Summit. And you see, while I was teaching at the college, while I worked with Senator Cruz, I taught part-time for many years. I had started college ministries. But they were separate. It was like I did my education in one compartment, teaching at the college. I worked full-time in politics. That was my politics. And then I did this college ministry that had nothing to do with any of that. It was kind of like Campus Crusade for Christ or Young Life. But I recognized pretty quickly that I was a good gatherer. When I did something, a lot of people would come. And so when I started Texas Youth Summit, it was a merger of all three: politics, education, and Christendom and ministry. And so it was an awesome thing that we got to do, and it's grown every year. We're in our sixth year, and we've had the biggest speakers and names in the country come and participate. And we've been so blessed to see so much growth, as well as youth really want engaged in the political process and fight for this country, because they really are a future. And so many youth, as you mentioned in your prayer, are confused with self-harm ideology, with transgender dysphoria. And it really is a mental disease that is plaguing our young people. And a lot of it is pushed by TikTok, Chinese communist TikTok, which has crept in our society. I can give you a case study, actually. I went and spoke at the University of Sam Houston, Sam Houston State University, I should say, and I met a pastor's daughter. And I didn't know her story. She seemed very feminine to me, but she said there was a season she had gone through where she had become radicalized through TikTok into thinking that she was supposed to be a male. I mean, imagine this sweet, feminine young woman who would have changed her sex, or at least attempted to, by taking hormone therapy, testosterone, and having surgeries that are life-altering. Tragic. And there are some people that have the story that I've met since her who actually went through with it. But these are the things that are plaguing our young people. And really what's behind the transgender ideology is something deeper. It's of course, it's satanic and it's spiritual, but it's also maybe there's depression and anxiety and pain that they're dealing with. That's the underlying issue. And maybe it could have been triggered by some sort of abuse or maybe mistreatment or being bullied at school. There could be all sorts of reasons why that's the case. But what parents, I think, can do is be involved in their children's lives. They need to know what's going on their child's laptop, tablet, or cell phone. They need to be privy to the apps that they're utilizing. They need to understand artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is very woke in many cases. There aren't very many good apps that are created by conservatives or just, you know, people that are a little right of center. There's a lot of leftist AI stuff going on, and children in this day and age are being raised with that, just like my generation was raised with the internet. I think it's important that parents need to parent and get back to the basics and maybe put your cell phones away and be around the dinner table and have these conversations that are really crucial. What did you learn at school today? Who are you hanging out with? You know, these types of questions, I think, will really help parents recognize what's actually important. And they need to just love their kids. And of course, kids will disappoint them at times. But being involved in your child's life, and you don't always have to be their best friend. Sometimes you have to be the disciplinarian. But you need to be friends and connected to your children. And don't allow technology to do it. But be connected to them in a real meaningful way. And be involved. And I think, you know, even if there are people that aren't your kids, there are programs that you can be a part of. But, you know, there are young people that want to be the next Bishop E.W. Jackson. So, E.W. Jackson can take time, you know, maybe to mentor one person, because to one person, you may be the world. I mean, to the world, you may just be one person, but to that one person, you may mean the world. And you can change someone's life in a very tangible way just by, you know, working with, you know, one person maybe once a month or, you know, twice a month, you know, just spending an hour or 2 hours with them and working to sow into the next generation, because that person may be the next Billy Graham. That person may be the, Ronald Reagan, or, you know, they'll be the type of leader that can make an impact in our culture and change our country. And so we need revival in this country, and we need a political change in this country. And it takes leaders who are willing to invest in the next generation. So I could say so much more about the culture and Texas Youth Summit. But I'm just really grateful to be a part of this call. And I thought it would be good if we maybe just opened it up for a couple of questions, or maybe Pastor or Bishop E.W. Jackson would be available to maybe steer the conversation or ask some questions himself. Hello?
Yeah, Christian, great. That was absolutely great. Yeah, I'd muted myself for a moment. That was absolutely great. Because I can't tell you how it's heartbreaking to think about the future of our young people if things don't turn around. Because the culture is really dragging them, kicking and screaming in some cases, in the wrong direction. And, you know, like you said, the sweet pastor's daughter who was just basically indoctrinated with TikTok and
right.
kind of lost her way. So what you're doing is extremely important. So I want to ask you this question, and you were getting to it a little bit. You know, we've got some big organizations that are focused on young people, and I can think of just three right off the top of my head. And I won't name them. And this is not a criticism, but it's more of an observation and a concern. I see these gargantuan organizations. I see they get a lot of attention, a lot of press. But when I hear about where young people are, I'm not seeing the change. I'm not seeing, and that doesn't mean it's not happening. But I'm not seeing something that says, oh, wow, look at the impact. Look at these colleges, the culture of these colleges are changing and so forth. What are you doing that's different? Because it sounds to me like, unlike some of these other approaches, that you really are trying to focus on not just bringing big meetings together, but discipling these young people. But talk a little bit about how to effectively help these young people steer their way through this mess that we're in right now.
Well, I think God calls us to use our gifts, you know, and I mentioned that I feel like mine is gathering. And so I, you know, don't have a big multimedia marketing way of going about recruiting all these people to come to the summit. It's just old fashioned, you know, organizing. And I'm an activist at heart. And so, for example, tonight I'm going to speak at Texas A&M University, and I'm speaking to a club. And last month I went to the state capitol and was in the Capitol building to talk to these incredible kids from Team Pact. It's a homeschooling organization that encourages civic engagement. And I spoke to them, and I'm constantly going to different places to speak and invite them to be a part of what we're doing. But I'm involved with the local public schools, homeschools, local colleges. And so I go to where they're at. And same for the speakers. I don't use the speakers bureau or anything like that. You know, I meet all the speakers that I like, and then I, you know, talk with them personally and text them and invite them to come. And, you know, it's just old fashioned, you know, recruiting. And I think, you know, our speakers really buy into what we're doing and they share. And so that creates a wave of excitement. There's a lot of ways that, you know, you can recruit people to come. But I think the most important thing is that you have a mission, and your mission is centered around the truth. And when you want to work with young people, they're hungry for something that can change their lives in a positive way, that they can hitch themselves to, and they can make a big difference. Because I think Gen Z and millennials, they really desire to make a difference. Uh-huh. Young people want to make a difference, and there are ways that they can do that. Texas Youth Summit is like a hub, and there are many nonprofit organizations, think tanks, elected officials who come there, and these young people, you know, connect with them, and they end up working for them. You know, they don't just go there and take a picture with their favorite, you know, speaker like Candace Owens or you know, whomever. You know, they're coming there and they're meeting these people, but they're also asking them good questions, and they're networking, and they end up working, you know, for Congressman Matt Gaetz or whomever they want to work with. It's really cool that they are able to go about it that way, and we encourage that. So I think getting involved in the movement, whether you're working for it, but, you know, we just want people to vote. You know, we're an educational organization. We have a 501c3 arm, Texas Youth Foundation, and a 501c4 arm, Texas Youth Action. We want people to vote. We want them to know what's going on, to be able to interpret the news and understand the times that we're living in. And it's really a call to action to get other people involved by voting. And if you have time to be an activist, I mean, you may not want to work in the field of politics, and that we don't necessarily think that everyone should. You know, but you just be an active and concerned citizen of America, and want to make a contribution in your community and your country, and to save this great country, because God, I teach, has given America to be a blessing to the rest of the world. And God has used America through the missions work to spread the gospel throughout the ends of the earth, and 70% of it is funded by the benevolence of the United States of America. So no one can tell me that God didn't have a plan for America. It really is what Ronald Reagan said, that shining city on a hill to the glory of God. It's an amazing country. And oh no, we're not perfect, and just like no people are perfect, and because people are in leadership and they make mistakes at times, we're, of course, America isn't perfect, but it's exceptional, and it's the greatest country in the history of the world. And there's a reason why my mentor, Rafael Cruz, for example, he always says this, you know, people are always trying to come here. The rafts from Cuba, that's his home country, are only going one way to Key West. They're not going from Florida, Key West to Cuba. People are coming from all over the world to come to America for the freedom and the opportunity that this country presents. And like you said, Bishop, you know, you have the opportunity in this country to make something of yourself, and that's not true of every country in the world. This is a special place, and for so long we've had the freedoms of speech and the Bill of Rights that have enabled us to live in prosperity and a civilized society. And, you know, we're on the brink of a place of no return in this country. We're on a precipice. And so I think this next election is so very important. And I know everyone says that this election is the most important election of our lifetime, but I really believe this one is, because, you know, I'm just speaking in a partisan way now. You know, if we lose this country to the Democrats in 2024, who knows what they're going to bring about next? I have some predictions, but it's going to be a very dark time in this country, and we've got to ensure that that doesn't happen. We've got to fight back, and now's the time to do it.
Look, you and I could continue. You and I could probably talk all day about this. Marlon, do we have any questions? Any people got in queue to ask questions?
No. Okay. You haven't also mentioned Star 6.
Yeah. Okay. Star 6 to ask questions. But look, then let you and I continue the conversation. By the way, you know that Rafael Cruz is a dear friend. Senator Cruz is as well. And it's interesting. You know, you reminded me the last time you were on that plane with us, but you were a staffer and you were very unassuming. And I remember the three of us having some conversations about his aspirations and all that. But I am so glad that we've reconnected. So look, our young people want to be inspired, and you just said it. One of the most inspiring stories in history is the story of America. But that's not what they're being sold. They're being sold of America as a terrible place, you know, born under the worst kinds of circumstances by terrible people who did terrible things. And, I mean, they just sold this lie about our country. The young people that you get an opportunity to interact with and to talk to, are they receptive to this idea of the shining city on a hill, the great blessing of this country?
I think they are. The problem is, you know, like me, you know, I knew a lot growing up about Christianity, but I didn't know about politics. And, you know, they're in youth groups at church. Many of them are good. You know, they come from good families that are coming to our summit. But, you know, they're going to go off to college, and even in their high schools, it's starting then, you know, in public schools anyway, where there are teachers and professors who want to deconstruct everything that their parents taught them. They want to make them into atheist, Marxist, America-hating activists who that will inevitably end up in places of authority in this country on business boards and corporations and making woke decisions. And so it's so important that they have a firm foundation. The scripture talks about when the house that was built on the sand versus the house that was built on the rock. And I think it's so important, after my own experiences, that students know why they believe what they believe, not just the right answers, but why they believe what they believe. And that's what we work to teach them, is just to put the right values in them, so that way when they go off to college, they can stand up for truth, and they can, in times that are right, you know, maybe push back against their professors not in a mean way, but in a happy warrior type of way with the smile on their face. And so I think that's pivotally, it's so important. And I know in my experience being in college, there was a time that one of my professors said that all Republicans were, you know, all white and they were racist. And I pushed back and I said, that's not true. And I told him why. And this was a room full of 200 people, an auditorium. And, you know, he and I ended up having some conversations after class. And later that professor wrote me a letter of recommendation to grad school, you know. So
wow.
I think there is a way to disagree with people publicly, stand up for what you believe in, but keep a smile on your face and, you know, don't have any animus in your heart toward people,
right?
Because, you know, it's the ideas that you're attacking. You're not attacking them personally. And, you know, there are times where, you know, things will feel personal, but it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that
right.
way. It should be about the issues. And
okay.
I long for a time in our country where Republicans and Democrats can have civil discourse once again.
Yeah. Okay. Look, we've got a question on the line, so let's take that one.
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Do you consider Make America Great Again to be a campaign slogan or a goal?
A campaign slogan or a goal? Well, I think we have seen the decline of America since Barack Obama especially has been president, and the continuation of that with Joe Biden being president now. I mean, I really feel like the Obamas are still in control. They're living in Washington, D.C., and Joe Biden is just their front man, and I think Michelle Obama will eventually run for office again. And, you know, I don't know that latter part is true, but I feel like everything that I said is true, and I believe that at some point Michelle Obama will run for president. So my point is I believe that we've seen the decline of America throughout, even when there have been some Republicans that have been president. We spend so much money on these foreign wars. We have a president that seeks to disarm Americans and level the playing field, meaning our country in the eyes of the world. They don't believe that America is exceptional. They believe that America has been imperialistic. They believe that America has been what's wrong in the world. And they apologize for America when they go on these tours. But Obama did that. We've seen the decline of America in terms of the economy. We are strong so long as our economy and our military are strong. And we've seen an economic decline. We've seen our military decline, and we've seen our military be spread too thin in so many different places throughout the world. So if America is going to remain the hegemony in the world, we still are at this point. But that's slowly changed at first, and it seems to be rapidly changing now. And so when I think of the term Make America Great Again, I think Make America the strongest nation in the world that cannot be beaten. And I think that's a very good goal, to have the economic and military powerhouse of the world, because if China is the one who's in charge and they're doing a lot of different things around the world. They have a military base in Cuba now. They're spying on America by buying up U.S. farmland. And if you look at what they did in South and North Dakota, they were spying on our military bases. I mean, they're pushing fentanyl across our wide open southern border, and it killed 107,000 Americans this past year. They're using TikTok to infiltrate our youth and infect them with all types of terrible ideology. They're using their currency, and they're teaming up with BRICS. There's Brazil and India and Saudi Arabia and Russia and China. They're all coming together to work together to get the world off the U.S. dollar. And they're working to overtake us economically. They're building up weaponry, and they're building up in the South China Sea military bases, and they're making relationships all throughout the world in Brazil, especially now that they have a very leftist president. They're doing this in parts of Africa, in the South China Sea, and a lot of these countries like Indonesia. They're building up, and they're doing this so that they can be the most powerful nation in the world. And if that were to happen, you know, God help us, because we will not have religious freedom. We will not have the same world that we've known. It will be very, very different. You cannot speak up for truth in China. And their intent, not just on taking over Taiwan, their intent on taking on America. And so when I think of Make America Great Again, I think of we've got to be the military that we've always been. We've got to be the economy that we've always been. And that requires strong leadership. But most importantly, you know, aside from that goal, that slogan, you know, we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, because there's no man, as much as I admire and will adamantly vote for Donald Trump, you know, he said himself that he can't save America, only God can, you know, and that's the right posture of a leader, is recognizing that we need God in this country. What we really need more than a political revolution is we need revival. And, you know, and I know that whatever happens, I believe that God isn't done with America. But, you know, I know that based on the book of Revelation, that persecution will come, that God will continue to do his will in the world, and that in spite of persecution, the gospel has always been advanced. And you know, that just means that God's kingdom is near. And so we have to be ready as Christians for the persecution that will be ultimately inevitable. So,
amen. Amen.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Christian, look, you're right. I don't believe God is done with America. Our job, it seems to be, is to make sure that America is not done with God, because that's the problem. And you working with young people is inspiring, because, look, no matter if we get Donald Trump elected, and I wholly subscribe to your statement, I believe he's the only person we have right now who can stop the hemorrhaging that our country is undergoing. I mean, we are bleeding literally in almost on almost every level. But if we don't raise up another generation of people prepared to step into their legacy as free Americans who honor God, honor our Constitution, honor our way of life, we're going to lose it anyway. So right. What you're doing is to me, it is yeoman service and critical to the movement. Look, how can people follow you and what you're doing and follow your youth summits if they want to support you, get involved in some way, contribute? How do people do that?
Thank you so much. Two ways. If you want to follow me personally, go to christiancollins.org, christiancollins.org. I have my social media platforms where you can engage with me there by following the links. And you can go to texasyouthsummit.com, texasyouthsummit.com. Anyone can come to this conference that's a youth between the ages of 16 and 26 completely free. Actually, we've extended that 12 to 26. So, of course, if they're younger, they have to come with the parent. 12 to 26, completely free. And adults can buy tickets, you know, general admission or VIP, to support this endeavor and be a part and come to the conference. And, of course, anyone can come. Youth come free. Adults have to buy tickets. It's an incredible opportunity to be around so many young people who are fired up to save America. And it's really exciting. So, I have, in spite of what I said, you know, about persecution that's inevitable, you know, right now I believe that God's not done with America. And I think there are good things in store, and I'm seeing so many positive things with our youth. And I just want to encourage you to get involved with what we're doing. TexasYouthSummit.com.
Amen. Well, Christian, keep up the good work. Who knows? Maybe at some point we'll have you serving us in Congress or the U.S. Senate or somewhere. Because it sounds to me like you've got a lot to offer and the country could really use your kind of leadership. So keep up the good work, my friend. If there's anything I can do to support or help, let me know. We'll certainly be doing what we can. In fact, I got a son in Texas. I'm going to definitely inform him about the Texas Youth Summit and awesome. Have him and his wife plug in.
Thank you so much. Where's your son located?
He's actually just outside of Austin. He's in a little place called Copeland, Texas.
Wow. Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, he had a cool spread down there.
I'd love to visit with you next time you're in Texas. So I'm here in Houston.
All right. Well, listen. Let's make sure we make that happen. Okay.
All right, my friend.
Thank you
so much for having me on.
It's been our pleasure and honor, Christian. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, folks, Christian Collins. When I met him, I just thought, man, this is a guy who is really doing some great things. And look, folks, let me underscore that. If we get Donald Trump elected and we have 4 years of a country in which the economy begins to recover, our international standing begins to recover, and all the things that we want for our country start to happen, and yet, we lose an entire generation of young people to an anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-freedom agenda, and they are indoctrinated and inculcated with all of this sexual perversion and Marxism and socialism. We're going to lose it anyway. I mean, all we're doing is just postponing the inevitable. So we've got to get these young people on board to embrace their legacy and realize just how inspiring and uplifting it is, and help them to see America in its proper context. No, we're not a perfect country, because you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody is. The only person who ever was is Jesus Christ when he walked the earth. That's it. Only one individual who ever walked the earth was. So that means, of course, our country's made mistakes. Of course we have problems. I've just been reading a book by an author named Robin. I am reading this book by Robin Lane Fox. I was introduced to him, and he wrote a tremendous book on Alexander the Great, one of the best history books I've ever read, just beautifully written. But he's talking about classical Greece and about, you know, the things that were going on. And, you know, slavery, and this goes, of course, he's talking about back during the 7th and 6th century, primarily, a little bit into the 5th century B.C. Slavery was just, it was everywhere. And one of the anxieties that people had was that if they got conquered, that they would be enslaved. But there were slaves within the indigenous population of, we didn't have so many nations then, but of city states and areas that were under somebody's leadership. This idea somehow that America is horrible because America had slavery, it's not only just, it's just historically stupid, because it's just not true. It's America was birthed into a time when, because there's never been a time when slavery did not exist, and people all over the world have been enslaved, but America is the only nation in the forefront of declaring slavery to be wrong, inherently wrong, immoral. There are many nations today that haven't accepted that principle. A lot of Muslim nations don't accept that. They think slavery is perfectly appropriate for certain people. So our young people have so much to be inspired about for our country, and to be uplifted about and to be proud of. But instead, they're being taught this anti-American polemic that makes them resent our country. I'll never forget when, during the Olympics, I forget which network it was, they were interviewing young people and say, well, are you supporting the American team? And they had several young people say, I'm not supporting a team just because they come from the same place I live in. And we had one girl say, I'm not supporting the American team. I'm ashamed of America. If we raise up a generation that thinks that way, we're doomed already. And we can't let that happen. So God bless Texas Summit and all these organizations around the country that are doing so much with young people. We have something called Youth Taking a Stand that we have not been able to give it a lot of time and attention, but we have some young people that we've gathered together, and we're looking to expand that. And I don't know when do we have an open conference call coming up soon, or a Zoom call coming up soon that the public is invited to, Marlon?
We don't have one scheduled, no.
Okay. All right. Well, we will be scheduling one, and we'll be putting the word out and trying to recruit young people to join with us. I was glad to hear Christian say he's kind of got a gift of gathering. I said, well, that should be helpful to us because gathering ain't easy. So maybe we'll use him at our next Zoom call for our young people. But look, folks, all of you need, this is something, if you care about the future of the country, this is something we've all got to be concerned about. So just to wrap up, let me say that I will be on Andrew Walmick's Truth and Liberty tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's on gospeltruth.tv, gospeltruth.tv. Tomorrow evening, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be on with Janet Porter and Andrew Walmick. We'll be talking about some important issues. And then I will be at First Baptist Church in Indian Trail on Thursday night, speaking there Thursday night and Friday morning. And for those of you who are not familiar with with that ministry, First Baptist Church is pastored by Dr. Mike Whitson. The conference is called March Like a Champion Conference. Again, First Baptist Church Indian Trail. The pastor is Dr. Mike Whitson, and I'll be speaking on Thursday night and on Friday morning. So, folks, we are in the fight, and we're not giving up, backing up, backing down, anything like that. So go to our website, standamerica.us, to learn more. Support us. If you're not already a Patriot partner, please sign up as a Patriot partner. Our goal is to get to 500. We're up around, I think, 225, but our goal is to get to 500 Patriot partners. Remember, if you sign up as a Patriot partner for $25 a month or more, I will send you a free signed and numbered copy of my book. I think we sent out about 85 of them so far or so. But whatever the next number is, if you sign up next, you'll get the next book. So God bless each and every one of you. Stay in the fight no matter what. Don't let anybody back you off. Oh, and by the way, our sister organization, Stand America PAC, has started something called Save America, Elect Donald Trump. I agree with everything Christian said. We're going to be focused on Pennsylvania, Virginia, who Donald Trump says he thinks he can take, and we agree with him. He can take Virginia this year, North Carolina, Georgia, and Ohio. So you can go to standamericapac.us if you want to contribute to that or you want to help us out with that, standamericapac.us. And if you want to talk to me or need to communicate with me, just email me at ewjackson@ewjackson.com. Marla, who's our guest next week?
We do not have a call scheduled next week.
We don't have a call scheduled next week. Okay. All right, folks. Well, we will let you know when the next call is scheduled. In the meantime, all of you stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.